Okay, let's go to Colossians tonight. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 9 through 14. Colossians 1:9, "For this reason also, since the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Well, last time we looked at Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3. This is Paul's prayer for the Colossians, and you might remember from last week the prayer for the Ephesians was especially that they would know the immensity of the love of God. Here for the Colossians, it's a little broader. This passage in Colossians, you know, if you ever don't know how to pray for somebody, just pray this. you say, well, how do I pray for a missionary? Just pray this. This will work for any believer. So, in verse 9, "For this reason also, since the day we heard," this is the occasion for Paul's prayer. Now, when he introduces that in verse 9, he's actually building on what you see in verses 3 through 8. We see the report that was given to Paul about the Colossians by Epaphras. And so in verse 4, Paul says, "We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints." Verse 5, "Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." So Paul heard of their faith, their hope, their love. In verse 8, we see that Epaphras informed Paul and Timothy of the Colossians' love in the Spirit. And then in verse 9, it tells us again that they heard this report. So this report, they heard it. We see something of the content. The gospel had come to the Colossians. Apparently, Paul did not know many people at Colossae. You know, when you read through the New Testament, do you ever notice Paul knew a lot of people? All kinds of places. But he doesn't know very many people at Colossae. So he had to get this report from Epaphras and also Philemon, who was from there, would have helped give that report. Paul may have passed through Colossae, but it is not recorded in the book of Acts. So we don't have a record of Paul being in Colossae. So, nonetheless, Paul loved these people, even though he didn't know them well. And he did know Epaphras, who was the church planter there at Colossae. And the effect of this report is that it causes Paul to pray. Verse 3, praying always for you. Verse 9, since the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. So when he heard, the result was that he prayed. Now, what did he pray? And in verse 9 through verse 12, we see two petitions, two things that Paul was praying for them, two petitions. Now, the first one, and you see it in verse 9, we could call it the filling petition. He prays, asking, verse 9 says, to ask that you may be filled. To ask that you may be filled. So that's the first petition, that they will be filled. And the rest of verse 9 describes what that filling is like. So you will be filled. Verse 9 says, with the knowledge of his will. With, and we could say, full knowledge. Epignosen, full knowledge. Full knowledge of his will. Thelaimatos, which is his desire. By the way, don't take, you know, every time you see the word will related to God in the New Testament, Don't take that as there is something called the will of God that is in some kind of box, and you're either with it or you're not. Okay? The word will means desire. The full knowledge of God's desire. And this is very obviously in verse 9, God's revealed desire. You know, how do you know what God desires? You can't know it any other way than Him revealing it to you, and that comes through His Word. That's how you know what God wants. That's how you know God's desire is through it. You can't know God's desire any other way. So, full knowledge of His revealed desire. His will is not some mysterious dot somewhere that you have to figure out and find by decision making. You know, and I hear people talk like that all the time. Well, you're in the will of God, or you're out of the will of God. And just go, okay, what are you talking about? What do those phrases even mean? You know, either you know His revealed desire or you don't. It's not a matter of finding some mysterious thing that is the hidden will of God that you can't possibly know. You know the will of God. It's in the Word. So, you know, in that sense, to be out of the will of God is to be in sin. You know, it's to be not even interested in His desires, and it's not because you're not interested in the things that are recorded in Scripture. So if you're out of the will of God, you're in terrible sin. You might not even be saved. Because, you know, God's desire, His will is that you'll be saved. So if you're not in the will of God, what does that mean? You know. So full knowledge of His will, His revealed desire. And you know this, the rest of verse 9, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you have knowledge, the knowledge of His will, wisdom, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, all three here. And by the way, it is a futile exercise to try to figure out what the difference is between those. Say, well, knowledge is, you can have knowledge without wisdom, sure. But can you have wisdom without knowledge? I mean, it doesn't do any good to figure those things out. All throughout the book of Proverbs, those three are a triad. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, all three. So, spiritual wisdom, this is wisdom that is of the Spirit. This is Holy Spirit produced wisdom. And that has to be because the Holy Spirit produced Scripture. And the Holy Spirit indwells believers and illumines the mind of the believer. So this is the Holy Spirit illuminating the mind of the believer to have knowledge and wisdom and understanding of the Scriptures. So, this filling petition, to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His revealed desire in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is to be filled with wisdom, with knowledge, with understanding from the Holy Spirit. Now, I won't spend much time on this tonight except to mention it, but you've heard it before. Paul equates being filled with the Spirit, that's Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Paul equates being filled with the Spirit with being filled with the Word. Being filled with the Word and being filled with the Spirit are the same thing. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And those things are all the same things that he says in Ephesians 5 that are the results of being filled with the Spirit. Well, here in Colossians, those same things are the results of being filled with the Word. So you cannot separate your Bible and the Holy Spirit. You know, people say, well, I was led by the Spirit to do this. I was led by the Spirit to do this. And sometimes I have to go, okay, is that what the Bible says? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, if it's not what the Bible says, then you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Well, yeah, I am. Well, okay, but how do you know that? Maybe you're being led by the devil. Maybe you're being led by your own emotions. Maybe you're being led by other people's suggestions. Well, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Does the Bible say it? Those go together. So, as you pray for one another, you can pray for other believers, you can pray for missionaries, you can, don't know who else to pray for me. But pray that we will be filled with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, that is a huge prayer. You know, even if you're praying for somebody that has been in the Word for 50 years, you can still pray that they'll know it better, can't you? Yeah, to be filled with this. So that's the filling petition. Then the second petition in verses 10, 11, and 12, I'll call the walking petition. Now the walking petition grows out of being filled with the knowledge of his revealed desires. But you see this petition, the request, at the beginning of verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects. So Paul's praying, he's requesting that the Colossians will walk in a manner that is, by the way, when it says a manner worthy of the Lord, that does not mean making yourself worthy of the Lord, because you can't do that. It's walk in a manner that is corresponding with the worth that you already have in the Lord. Okay? This isn't be more worthy. This is to realize that your worth is in Christ. It's in him. So walk according to it. And walking according to that is pleasing to the Lord in all respects that pertains to everything in life. So the walking petition, that you'll walk in a corresponding manner to your worth in Christ and please the Lord. Now that's described in verse 10, the rest of verse 10, and verse 11, and verse 12. It's described by four participial phrases. So we could ask it this way. What does a worthy walk look like? What does a walk that pleases the Lord look like? What does that look like? Well, the first participial phrase is in verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit. By the way, that is the terminology that is used concerning fruit. You bear fruit. You don't produce fruit. Okay? Bearing fruit and producing fruit are two different things. The production of fruit comes from the life of the vine. The production of fruit, it's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The production of fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. The production of fruit comes from Jesus. John chapter 15, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You do not produce fruit, but you do bear fruit. You bear the fruit, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. This is to be engaged in ministry. Then the second participial phrase, still in verse 10, is increasing in the full knowledge of God. Increasing or growing in or by the full knowledge of God, which of course comes through His Word. So a worthy walk looks like bearing fruit, and it looks like increasing in the knowledge of God. We could say it looks like bearing fruit and it looks like growing in the Word. Then the third participial phrase is at the beginning of verse 11. Strengthened with all power. Strengthened with all power. Now, the source of that power, we're told in verse 11, it's according to His glorious might. This is the Lord's power. It's His glory. And we saw, actually, last time in Ephesians 3:16, that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit power, strengthened with all power. And the purpose of this power, the rest of verse 11, and this is so beautiful. The purpose of being strengthened with all power is for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. The power of the Holy Spirit in your life is so that you will be steadfast, that you'll be faithful. And the power of the Holy Spirit in your life is so that you will be patient. You know, that is so different from the way so many people think when they think about the power of the Holy Spirit. I have the power of the Holy Spirit to do great things, to do all kinds of miraculous, amazing things. Yeah, okay, here's a miraculous, amazing thing, that you can be faithful. Here's a miraculous, amazing thing, that you can be patient. It's interesting, as Paul is praying for them, that is his emphasis on the power of the Holy Spirit, is steadfastness and patience. So, we grow in steadfastness and patience by being strengthened by the Holy Spirit in His power, according to His glorious might. And then the fourth participial phrase, which is starts at the end of verse 11 and goes into verse 12, joyously giving thanks to the Father. Joyously giving thanks to the Father. So, a worthy walk looks like bearing fruit, verse 10. It looks like increasing or growing in the Word. It looks like being strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it looks like joyously giving thanks to the Father. So what is Paul praying for? That they will have a worthy walk. He's praying that they will be engaged in ministry, that they will be engaged with the Word, that they will be engaged with the Holy Spirit, and that they will be engaged in gratitude to God. You know, the devil cannot get a hold in a grateful heart. When you're filled with thanksgiving, there's not room for the devil to get a hold of you. Okay? If you're not filled with thanksgiving, then there is soil in which a root of bitterness can sprout. And oh my, will the devil get a hold of that? He will. And it will defile you. So, the filling petition and the walking petition. Now, the foundation for all of this in Paul's prayer, the rest of verse 12 and verse 13 and verse 14. The Father has qualified us to share, to participate in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, some of you might recall this from when we were back in the book of Ephesians a while ago, but inheritance has multiple uses. You have an inheritance in Christ. And that's what verse 12 is talking about here. The inheritance of the saints in light. You have a share in the inheritance that all of the saints have. Your inheritance in Christ. You might remember in Ephesians 1, there's also God's inheritance, which is you. So you have an inheritance, and you are an inheritance. A third way that inheritance is used in the New Testament is your reward in the coming kingdom, in the millennial kingdom. Your reward is referred to as inheritance. So inheritance in the kingdom isn't about being there. Inheritance in the kingdom is about having reward and position in the kingdom. So what he's talking about here in verse 12 is the inheritance that every believer has in Christ. You see, that is the foundation for these requests. The foundation is the inheritance. The foundation, verse 13, is that the Father rescued us from the domain of darkness. So you're rescued. Before you were saved, you were a child of darkness. You were part of the domain of darkness under the authority of the ruler of darkness. Now, you know, a lot of unsaved people would say, well, I don't know that. Okay, but whether you know it or not, it's true. And the Lord rescued us. If you're saved, you've been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son. So the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance. He's rescued us from the domain of darkness, and He's transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Verse 14, in Jesus, the beloved Son, we have redemption. And in Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins. So, because you are qualified as a sharer in the inheritance, because you have been rescued from the domain of darkness, because you have been transferred into the kingdom of His Son, because you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, Therefore, you can be filled with the knowledge of His will, and you can walk in a manner worthy. These things are the foundation for the requests. Now you can pray this for yourself. You can pray it for one another. You can pray it for other believers elsewhere. You can pray it for missionaries. You can pray it for believers anywhere. That's the intention of Paul in giving this. You know, he wants the Colossians to know this is how he is praying for them. So we can pray like Paul in that sense. So, you know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I just don't have anything to pray about. Oh, well, then pray this. You have plenty to pray about. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these very solid and practical prayers of Paul. And so, Lord, I do pray for each one of us tonight, and I pray for believers even that are on our prayer sheet tonight. I pray, Lord, that they may be filled with the knowledge of your will, filled with wisdom, filled with understanding, filled with your word, filled with your spirit. And Lord, I pray that they will walk in a worthy manner, a corresponding manner, and please you in all respects. I pray, Lord, that they will bear fruit. I pray, Lord, that they will increase in the knowledge of your word. I pray, Lord, that they will be strengthened with power for faithfulness and patience. And I pray, Lord, that they will be joyously thankful to you. And Lord, we pray this all on the basis of the foundation that we are yours. We have the inheritance. We have been rescued. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, it is not a light passing thing for us to say, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.